was seated on the dais three seats from Andrew Young. So I have to act interested, even though I am positively just bored out of my skull. I mean, it's no big deal for me to be three seats from the mayor. I've had dinner at the White House, thank you very much.
I don't believe it.
What?
This letter from my mama. My Aunt Liz has been researching our family tree, and there's a chance we might be related to Loretta Lynn. Do you know what that means?
You're going to have to start cooking with Crisco?
No, silly. But if I ever go to Nashville, I can probably go see the Grand Ole Opry for free. Oh, I think Loretta Lynn's so adorable, and she's so true to Dooley, you know, even though he's a little bit fat.
You'd be fat, too, if you ate nothing but pie crust.
Excuse me, but I believe I was in the middle of a scintillating story when I was rudely interrupted for a hillbilly bulletin.
Trust me, Suzanne, that story was not scintillating.
Well, you know, I'd expect something like that from Julia, but you're sure in a nasty mood today.
I know. I don't know why. I guess it's Quinn. All of a sudden, he's decided that my opinion is just completely worthless.
What makes you think that?
Because every time I say something, he rolls his eyes up and hits himself in the head like this. Which either means I could have had a V8 or I could have had a mother who's not the stupidest woman left on earth.
Oh, come on, Mary Jo. All kids go through that know-it-all stage.
No, this is more than a know-it-all stage. He's just completely obnoxious. Last week, the teacher told me that he'd been passing out fruit roll-ups at recess to certain little girls and then demanding that they go steady with him and his friend.
Go steady? How old is Quint?
6. My son is a 6-year-old grade school pimp.
Well, now, you know, you should take my advice on children. Now, once they're housebroken, they go straight off to military school, and then, if they make good grades, they can come home when they're 21, providing they don't play their stereo too loud.
That's very good, Suzanne. I can tell you've got a lot of insight into this.
After all, she's raised 3 parakeets, and not one of them has ever gotten into trouble. I can tell you from experience, having raised a son myself, that it pays in the long run to be a little tough, even when they're just 6 years old.
I completely agree with you. That's why last night I sat Quint down and I said, look, I don't care what your friends at school call you. I'm your mother, and I don't have to refer to you as the slickster.
Mary Jo, would you get that for me, please?
Sugar Bakers. Yes, she is. Can I say who's calling? Mm-hmm. Charlene. It's for you, Monica Marlin.
Monica Marlin? I don't know any Monica Marlin. Hello? Yes, this is she. Well, of course I remember you. Well, gosh, yeah, it sure has been a long time. Just exactly how long has it been? That long? Wow, what do you know about that? Wait a minute. Wait a minute, is this who I think it is? Monette Marlin? Oh, this is incredible! I can't believe it! You know, your mama wrote from Pensacola and said you'd move to St. Louis. When'd you move here? Well, how'd you know where to find me? You're kidding! Oh, yes, I know that house. It's a great old house. You want us to redo it? Oh, Monette, this is great. Now, I'm the office manager, but I have to be in on this one. Now, when are you free? Sure, this afternoon's fine. How about 2 o'clock? Oh, that's great. All right, Monette, I'll see you then. Bye-bye. You will never in a million years guess who that was.
Monette Marlin. You went to high school together. She moved to St. Louis. Now her parents have moved to Florida. She just moved to Atlanta, changed her name to Monica, bought an old house, and wants us to redecorate it.
That's uncanny. How'd you do that?
She's psychic.
Oh, you guys. Now, we're both from Poplar Bluff. You know, I always looked up to her. She was older than me, and she was everything I wanted to be. You know, she was kind of sexy and aloof, you know. She was the only cheerleader who wasn't bouncing around all the time, you know what I mean? I mean, she was cool, you know. She had this kind of quiet pep.
An incredible combination.
Well, Monette felt a sort of bond with me, you know, because all the other cheerleaders had rich daddies, you know, and our families didn't have very much money. And also, I think she felt sorry for me because I had a crooked cartwheel.
Well, I've always said you can survive being poor, but if your cartwheel is off...
No, I mean it. I never would have made the squat if it hadn't been for her.
Wonderful story. Now, I don't mean to sound unsentimental, but does Monette have money now?
Well, she must have. She just bought the Chadwick house.
Not bad.
That is a huge old house.
Well, it's not that big. I mean, it's not as big as, say, well, my house.
That's true, Suzanne. It's also not as big as the Empire State Building or the Grand Canyon, but we're not redoing either one of those. This is so exciting. This could be our biggest job yet. Plus, I get to see Monette. Now, you guys, why don't y'all grab some lunch? I'm going to go home and change my clothes, and I'll meet you there.
Change your clothes? What for?
Well, I just want to look a little more successful. What do you think I should wear?
Well, for starters, both those black sweaters of yours are too tight for you, and all your skirts are too short. And as long as we're on the subject, I certainly wouldn't come in that purple caftan with the hood. Just makes you look like a shepherd.
Thank you, Suzanne. I was just asking for a suggestion, not a complete glamour makeover.
Wait. Too late. I know. Now she's probably going to show up wearing those Hands Across America earrings.
So, that's basically the house. I think you'll find me very easy to work with. Just remember, I hate red. Other than that, you can do anything you want.
Well, there certainly are a lot of rooms here. Have you thought about a budget?
Not exactly. I just like to keep it somewhere between $100,000 and $150,000.
Oh, well, I think we can handle that.
I wonder what on earth is keeping Charlene. She was so excited to see you again.
She is right here.
Charlene!
Monette!
Monica!
Oh, whatever.
You look wonderful.
Oh, thank you, so do you. I can't believe it. I had a flat tire on the way here. I've never had a flat tire in my whole life. I had to run the last 10 blocks.
You sweet thing.
Oh, don't you all just love her?
We do.
She's always had the best heart of anyone I know. She just had one fault, and that's picking the wrong men. Tell me, has she gotten any better?
No.
Oh, thanks a lot.
You know, she was the only girl at our prom whose date didn't wear a shirt.
Why does this not surprise me?
Ernie Richardson.
Oh, what a juvenile delinquent he was. Whatever happened to him?
He is the president of a bank in Memphis.
Really? How do you know?
Because I dated a guy who robbed it.
Is she wonderful or what?
She is.
Come on, I want to show you the rest of the house. They've already seen it. Make yourselves at home.
Thank you.
Well, what do you think?
Well, she doesn't seem all that sexy and aloof to me.
I was talking about the house.
Seems sort of drafty.
It's old. It's huge. It's
$100,000 to $150,000. Excuse me for one moment, please. Thank you. I just had to get that out of my system.
It's incredible, isn't it? And the best part is, we didn't even have to try for this job. It just sort of fell into our laps.
Oh, excuse me, ladies. Monica here?
No, she's upstairs with someone. She'll be down in just a minute.
All right. Thank you.
I sure would love to see this room in something like apricot, teal accents.
Oh, that'd be gorgeous. Gorgeous. Big bronze sculptures.
She's got an awful lot of pretty things that we could
What
use.
Do you think we should bleach the...
It's with this guy, anyway. I don't know. Let's just keep talking and maybe he'll kind of go away.
She does.
Excuse me for interrupting your conversation again, but I was just wondering, if I was to ask for you specifically, would I get you?
I have no idea what you're talking about, but somehow I feel absolutely safe in saying the answer is no.
Well, I'm sorry. I thought you worked for Monica.
Well, we do, but we kind of just started.
Oh.
What do you mean, work for Monica?
I mean, you know...
You mean...
Right.
Are you saying that this is a... And Monica is a...
That's the way it worked when I was here last week.
No wonder she has so many bedrooms.
I was trying to convince myself it was an orphanage.
Wait a minute. I get it. It's a joke, isn't it? I mean, it's like candid cameras. I
heard they were bringing that thing back into syndication. I bet that's what it is. They could be right here in Atlanta. That's what it is, isn't it? We're on candid camera.
I don't know, honey, but if that's true, I'm in a lot more trouble than you are.
That was so much fun. We talked about things I hadn't thought about in years, like that pink jackass story. Monette and I stole it because our school mascot was the mule. We were the Poplar Bluff Mules. Did I ever tell you all that story?
Yeah, you told us.
I mean, no one ever believes that I knew a pink jackass, but it's true. It's just one of those quirks of nature.
Charlene, sit down. We want to talk to you about Monette.
Oh, no, I don't like the sound of that. Every time you say, Charlene, sit down, it's bad news. Now, just tell me standing up. What is it? What? Monette's a man.
No, but we have reason to believe she's practicing the world's oldest profession.
Monette's a carpenter?
Charlene, Monette's a madam.
You mean like in prostitute?
It looks that way.
I can't believe y'all think such a thing.
Charlene, while you were upstairs with her, two different men tried to purchase Julia.
And that just shows the type of clientele she has right there.
What is that supposed to mean?
Means her operation is probably over the hill. I mean, clients usually want much younger stuff.
Stuff. You know what I mean. Now, I'm not trying to be unkind, Julia, but I don't think there's too many women cutting it in your age bracket.
Well, that may be, Suzanne, but I didn't notice anybody knocking down the door to get a crack at you.
I probably intimidated them. As my ex-husband Dashgoth, the writer, used to say, there are some mountains so majestic
even brave men dare not approach.
Well, then, I guess nobody felt like climbing you.
Okay. Can we stop? That is not the point.
The point is, Charlene, I know this is so difficult for you to accept. I just want you to know that we're here for you and we care. But in the meantime, no way am I decorating a 19-room whorehouse for some two-bit floozy who just blew in from St. Louis.
Julia?
No, I mean it. Not even for $100,000. I will decorate a greenhouse, a hen house, a doghouse. I will even decorate an outhouse, but I will not decorate a whorehouse.
There must be some mistake. I mean, she told me herself she had a bunch of roommates coming in.
Oh, come on. Now, how many women her age do you know living with a bunch of roommates? Charlene, what'd she tell you she does for a living?
She said she's in marketing and public relations.
Well, that's close.
It doesn't make any sense. I mean, Monette and I sat next to each other in vacation Bible school.
We all have heroes to disappoint us. It's just a fact of life. I mean, I used to be totally wild over Anita Bryant. I wanted to walk like her, talk like her. I even wanted to have her hair.
You do have her hair.
Thank you. But then she got off on that homosexual thing. It just kind of turned me off, you know? I mean, she became obsessed with it and stopped showing up at pageants. And for what? I mean, it wasn't like she was some homely girl who had to worry about all the homosexuals stealing all the good-looking men or anything like that. And you know, the last time I saw her, even her hair looks sort of deflated.
What's your point?
I forgot. What was the question? The question is, can we afford to turn down a $100,000 to $150,000 job? Now, when you get right down to it, we can't control what goes on in any of the bedrooms we've done. I mean, for all we know, there could be an orgy going on right now out there in one of our bedrooms. Hordes of naked people swinging from one of our antique light fixtures. Writhing masses of unclad bodies wallowing on our custom-made chintz pillows.
You've been watching the cable TV again, haven't you?
I have not. Look.
There is no point going on with this argument until we find out for positive sure that Monette does what you think she does.
And how do you propose we find out?
We're going to ask her.
I was going to tell you, Charlene, I was just waiting till we got a little better reacquainted.
Reacquainted? As far as I'm concerned, Monette, you are a completely different person than the person I grew up with.
I'm the same person, Charlene. I just happen to do something for a living that you don't approve of. And frankly, I don't need your approval. I never did.
I know that, but don't tell me you haven't changed. I mean, we didn't even do it with anybody in high school. We made a pact to save ourselves till marriage. I mean, you remember that time at the drive-in? You wanted me to think you were making it with Dennis Dobner in the back seat. You guys were rocking the car back and forth, and I wouldn't turn around because I knew you were trying to get me. You mean you were doing it with Dennis in the back seat of the drive-in? I don't believe it.
He wasn't the first.
Who was?
Herthel Welker.
Herthel Welker?
That's right. And there was Billy Joe Clarkson, Donnie Jones, Danny Hogg, the Green Brothers.
Bruce and Don?
No, Goose and Bill. Bruce and Don were in the Army. Anyway, George McCall, Snooky Dunn.
Snooky Dunn? I thought he was going with Randa.
He did. But she was doing it with Bob Belford.
Randa was too?
Charlene, we're talking about a small town with one movie. Come on, The Ghost of Mr. Chicken was held over for 6 weeks. Everybody was doing it but you.
But Randa was in on our pact.
I know. You're the only one who kept the pact and saved yourself from marriage. Now you're the only one who never married. Life's funny, isn't it?
Yeah, life's a riot, Monette. Why are you telling me all this stuff?
Because you ask. Look, Charlene, I know you want some sort of explanation about why I do this for a living, like I was sexually abused as a child, or my husband left me. But that isn't the case. It's true I had too many kids in my family, so did you. But you got a lot of love, and we got a lot of the back of my daddy's hand. I probably started out looking for a little affection. But when I figured out I could make a great living working my own hours and have a place like this, well, it was too hard to turn down, so I didn't. And I'm very proud of how well I've done. As a matter of fact, I was just elected executive secretary of my union at our international convention in Copenhagen.
Well, congratulations. Isn't that something?
Wait a minute. You mean prostitutes are unionized?
We certainly are. And for the record, I prefer to be called a love consultant.
Look, this isn't any of my business. As far as I'm concerned, you can call yourself the Princess of Whoopee, but you're still a hooker.
Julia?
Well, I can't help it. It's the truth. And while I agree with your right to control your own body, I can't help but be angry at women like you because you diminish the rest of us.
I'm sorry, I don't know what you mean.
I mean, it's the same kind of anger that I feel when I walk past a newsstand and see a tabloid with a nude woman on the cover wearing a dog collar standing next to a man with a whip. And I think to myself, that woman is a member of my sex, and suddenly my face feels hot and I feel embarrassed to be a woman, and I feel angry because I know that if that were a black man in a dog collar with a white man whipping him, that picture would not be allowed on a public sidewalk.
I'm afraid I don't get the connection.
The connection is that by choosing to be a prostitute, you perpetuate that image of woman as victim, exploited, dependent, abused, a slave, if you will. And you embarrass me in 1987 just the way a slave would embarrass a black person.
A slave? You must be joking. I make very good money for what I do.
Yes, you do. But it's the rest of us who have to pay for it.
Well, if you ask me, what you're doing is economically stupid.
I didn't ask. Anyway, I find that a little incredible since you don't know how much I make.
You don't make half as much as me, and I can guarantee it. Three ex-husbands. The way I see it, marriage is much more profitable. To me, it's like buying a new car. See, first of all, you people don't even have a contract. Then you only charge the guy according to how much he drives it. Now, if you marry him, he has to pay for the entire vehicle, whether he ever drives it again or not. And alimony ensures that he will make those payments even if he wants to get a newer model. Believe me, I have lifetime security, and you're just flying through the air without a net.
This is your sister, right?
Yes. She diminishes us, too. But her, I can deal with.
What is it that you ladies do for men that's kept them coming back for centuries?
Well, you're not going to believe this, but a lot of my time is spent just talking and listening.
Isn't that incredible? And I know all these men who just fall asleep on the couch every night while their wives climb the walls from boredom. And then they go out and pay somebody to hear them talk. Huh?
Fascinating, isn't it? Well, I'd love to continue this little tete-a-tete, but I do have an appointment. Perhaps sometime we could all get together on the Oprah Winfrey Show.
Well, while we're being perfectly candid, may I give my final impression of you?
Gee, I'd hate to have to be the one who tried to stop you.
I just want to say that I don't think you're half as pleased with your life as you pretend. As a matter of fact, I think you're getting ready to get out of the hooker business.
Is that so?
Yep. You're a bright, capable person. I've been pretty insulting, and you haven't put forth much of an argument defending yourself. Also, you got in touch with Charlene after you hadn't seen her for 12 years. I think you're testing the water.
Yeah, you're kind of obnoxious. But we could probably be friends. Maybe in some sort of lifeboat situation.
Well, just because we're not decorating your house doesn't mean we couldn't have lunch sometime.
And that goes ditto for me. I'd have to check my book.
Come on, you guys. Now she's my friend. Now, Monette, I'm going to tell you straight out. I don't want you to do this for a living. Your parents know you do this for a living.
Charlene, my parents don't even know I smoke.
You smoke, too? Monette, that is so bad for you.
You want me to give up everything at once? I have to keep at least one vice.
Now, we both come from the same place, and I know Monette, and I love her, but I don't know this Monica person. This is going to sound kind of corny, but we could put all the expensive designer wallpaper in the world in this house, and it still wouldn't make your life as beautiful as having a man who loves you and who'll take care of you when you're old and when you're sick, you know, and friends who respect you. Well, that's the bottom line. I just want you to promise me you'll think about that.
I've been thinking.
You have?
Yes. You know, for somebody who's over 30 and single, you're awfully naive and romantic.
Yeah, I never give up. My prince is out there somewhere. He's just probably being held hostage in some foreign prison.
Take care of yourself.
I will. You call me.
Oh, excuse me. Sorry, Monica. Am I on time?
No, you are late. Can't you see she's smoking? We'll work on that one later.
Well, you don't look too busy.
Finally, a man with some taste.